Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Donna Sewell and the Wellness Enclave, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, we will be talking about making a roadmap or a plan for your New Year's resolutions. And we will be right back after this commercial break.
Hi there, healthy people. Do you have a healthy product or service? If you are a certified medical professional, fitness trainer, author, or chef, Old Fashioned Health would love to promote your services or product on the Old Fashioned Health Radio Show. Please reach out to us. Call 404-793-3960 or email us at oldfashionedhealth@gmail.com. You can also contact us at oldfashionedhealth.com. Old Fashioned Health, good health inside and out.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Today, we will be talking about goal setting, one of my favorite topics. Let me tell you why I am going to revisit this with you guys today. A lot of people like to make New Year's resolutions. For whatever reason, people like to wait until the beginning of the new year to decide that they're going to do whatever they want to do, whether it's lose weight, start their own business. What are some of the other ones that people stop smoking? What are some of the other ones people like to do?
Lose weight, change the diet, like I'm going to stop eating meat or I'm going to be plant-based. That's a, you'll get that later.
Yes. Okay, that's an inside joke, but you gotta like you.
So. I'm gonna save money or yeah, something like that.
Right. So because of that, that's why I wanted to revisit the goal setting piece to make sure everybody has good guideline in terms of how to set their goals up when they do their New Year's resolutions, because it's very easy to say things like I'm gonna stop smoking or I'm gonna change my diet or I'm gonna cut down on drinking alcohol. It's very easy to say all of those things, but if you don't have a plan, you're basically almost setting yourself up for failure. I'm not saying all of the time, but I would safely say the majority of the time, if you don't have any type of plan, you're kind of setting yourself up. One of the things I wanted to talk about, though, that I haven't discussed, that's a component of the goal setting that I've talked about in the past, is the self-awareness and the introspection. You know, that's a big thing also that happens at the beginning of the year. People are like, I have to live better. I got to get myself together. You know, so then they want to do some type of soul searching or introspection. So I want to talk about that briefly, simply because here's the thing. The better you know yourself, then the easier it will be to alleviate some of the barriers and challenges that you have, because you already know what to expect from yourself and your behavior. And also, when you're trying to accomplish your goals, you'll be at your best self. See, when you look at self-awareness, that's basically understanding your behaviors, understanding your thought processes, and not just, when I say understanding them, not just knowing them, but understanding why you do the things that you do. Then that will also allow you to figure out where are your blind spots, where are your blind spots. Where are your strengths? Where are the areas that you need improvement? Now, here's the thing. A lot of people don't like to do true self-reflection or introspection. And remember, and they're pretty much the same thing, but remember, once you know yourself, then you will be at your best self. Being at your best self will allow you to really accomplish your goals, and it will allow you to accomplish everything you can out of that particular goal that you're moving towards. So with self-reflection, here's a problem with that a lot of people have. You have to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly with self-reflection. A lot of people in this day and time just want to look at the good. That doesn't exist. You may be, people on the outside may think you're the best person in the world, but you know as well as I do, as an individual, that you do have excessively bad habits. And it may not be a bad habit like, oh, you know, I'm eating red meat or I smoke cigarettes. Those aren't the bad habits I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things like, you know, when you're a jealous person. You know, when you are a person who is what I call predatory. Not predatory in the sense of a person who is an abuser, emotional, physical, sexual, not that type of predator. Although if you are a person like that, then you know that you're like that. Not that type of predator. The predator, the person who preys on the weak, basically, who will take advantage of an individual, like when they need money or, you know, someone needs to, they may say, hey, I need somebody to run me around the corner. And run around the corner means this person is using their car and their gas to take you any and everywhere several days out of the week, and you're not offering to pay them any gas money or doing anything like that. That's the person that I'm talking about. That's the predator. And you know when you are like that. You may be a person who is very angry. These are things that you have to look at. They have some steps. They have something called the 12 steps. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of them. In the 12 steps in AA, they have a step that you have to do twice. And a lot of people have difficulty doing it the first time, and they don't move past the fourth step. The fourth step is that you have to do a moral inventory, or as some people call it, a personal inventory. And then they make you do it again on the 10th step. You have to continue to look at that personal inventory, because in order for you to grow as a person, that means, and continue to grow throughout life as a person or as an individual, you have to continuously look at yourself and kind of analyze yourself. Again, you know, if you're a person that's like a crab in a barrel. Now, here's how I recommend you sit down and you look at yourself. For those, I recommend that if you have any friends or family members that you're close to, a true friend will tell you what your shortcomings are. Can I get an amen on that, Mr. Greg?
Amen.
They will tell you what your shortcomings are. And when they tell you what your shortcomings are, they will tell you, I know you're going to get upset with me and you're probably not going to speak to me for the next month or two, but that's fine. Let me know if you need anything and I'll be more than happy to help you. You'll be okay when the swelling goes down. So one of the things I would do is look at, here's what you have to do if you're going to do self-introspection. You have to look at where you think you where your strengths are, and I would write those things down. And then I would look at where is it that I feel like I need to improve, which is very important. So I would look at where is it that I think I need to improve. Then what I would do is talk to a friend or family member that I trust, not somebody who's going to blow smoke up my butt and try to make me feel good, somebody who is actually going to tell me the truth and they can say, hey, you're a good person and you mean well here, but here are some things that you do. You may be condescending. You may be a jealous person, whatever the situation is. Then what you do is go back and begin to look at, when is it that I started treating people like this? Or when is it that I started behaving like this? When is it that I started feeling like this? And sometimes, more often than not, when I've had people do that, what they see is there was a defining event or situation that happened in their life, and they decided that, hey, I'm going to continue to do A, B, and C. Because a lot of our bad habits, a lot of our foibles, which are basically weaknesses, character weaknesses, a lot of our foibles are defense mechanisms. Most of them are defense mechanisms, whether it's something to help us feel better about ourselves, and maybe that's why we're condescending to others, because somebody else made me feel bad about myself, or I allowed someone to make me feel badly about myself. So now I'm going to make everybody else feel like that so that I can feel good. That's an example of that. So look at what that defining event, or it may have been a few events that may have transpired, and one just kind of took you over the edge. Then look at that. Once you look at that, then begin to dissect it, and that's when your healing will start and when you will begin to start working on the better you. It doesn't mean that you won't be successful if you don't do those things. However, what it does mean is that if you're not aware of your true self and if you're not at your best self, then you will not achieve the level of success that you would like to achieve. And when I talk about success, I am talking about not how we define it as a society. I'm talking about whatever you define as success as a person. And what you'll hear in one of my future interviews is that an individual talked about success. And one of the things, and it was Alvin Watson, and one of the things that he said is, what makes you happy? Are you healthy? Look at those successes. I'm not talking about the success of finances and money, of finances and materialism. So again, introspection, that is a big piece. That's a lot that people like to get into, a big piece that people like to get into at the beginning of the year. So that is something that I am recommending. That's something that I am very much recommending that you do. The introspection, so you can find out who your true self is. You can understand your barriers. You can get help with those barriers. You can get help with those challenges as it relates to your personality and your character. And then it can help you move forward with accomplishing your goals in a more successful manner. We will be right back after this commercial break, and you've been listening to Dr. Donna Sewell.
If you love it, your favorite music, news, talk, sports, and you want to hear it, it's in the palm of your hand. iHeartRadio. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Silver bell. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. darling. Oh, I hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday, holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of a Christmas. Oh yes, children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street or corner you will hear, oh, silver bells. It's Christmas, Christmas time in the city. Oh, ring-a-ling. Hear them ring. Christmas Day. Soon it will be a Christmas Day. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell. Today, we are talking about mapping out a plan for your New Year's resolutions. And again, I would like to thank Greg for indulging me with my old people's Christmas music. Much appreciated. Brings back good childhood memories. So there are 10 areas, if you recall, that I recommend that individuals look into. All of these areas may not be pertaining to you at this particular time. However, I still recommend that you look into them. So housing could be moving into an apartment, buying a home, repairs to home, something of that nature. Financial, which could be investing or saving money. Career or job, that's the third area. Legal issues, if you have any legal issues, that could be settling a divorce, that could be you may have a DUI, you can be on parole or probation, anything like that, preparation for court hearings. Those are examples of legal. Education could be anything from vocational training to degree programs, certifications, just any type of training that you may have to do. If you are a spiritual person, religion or spirituality, that could be that's an area you may decide you want to go to church more often or go to temple or mosque more often. May decide you want to take a spiritual journey. You want to go to Hajj. It could be anything, or you want to pray more often or meditate more often. It could be anything of that nature. Physical health, that could be losing weight, exercising more, eating healthier, etc. Mental health. When I look at mental health, I'm talking about your emotional wellness and your overall emotional wellness. However, if you do have a mental health diagnosis and you're to be taking medication, then please take your medication. If you feel like you have an issue that's been going on and has been taking up a lot of your life and disrupting your daily activities, then you may want to seek out a mental health therapist or a counselor, and that's fine. Hobbies or interests, I think these are very important. As I've mentioned earlier, a lot of times as we become older, our hobbies become paying our bills, watching our children, those types of things. So, and now all of that is great, but that's not a hobby or an interest. Most people don't even know what they're interested in after they get a certain age. They tell me they haven't had a hobby in like 10 years or something like that, or since they've been a teen. Hobbies are very important because it allows us to relax or whatever our interests are. That's another way that we can relax. If you recall on last week, I talked about anxiety. I had the topic of anxiety. Well, one of the ways that we can relax is to have a hobby or interest, and then we indulge in that maybe once or twice a week or however, if it's a very expensive hobby, however often our finances allow us to do so. And relationships is the last area that I encourage people to look at. Relationships with family and friends sometimes is how to strengthen a relationship. Other times you might want to set up a plan of how to slowly dissolve a relationship that is negative. Because if you have negative energy in your life, then and you have negative people surrounding you, then your mindset a lot of times will be negative, whether it's being agitated, irritated, depressed, it just won't be positive. So you want positive people in your life as much as you can possibly have them. So those are the 10 areas that I recommend individuals look into. Now, there are guidelines for setting your goals. First of all, you can have more than one goal in each of these areas or any of these areas. You can have more than one goal. The other piece is, and I talked about this before our break, you need to understand what your strengths, weaknesses, limitations, and barriers are so that you know what and who to place in your plan. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. How many minutes am I working on, Mr. Gregg? Okay, so I think I might have some pretty good time to go into detail. So your goals, they can be anywhere from 7 to 10 years out. But here's the thing. You need to make steps to get to your goals. So those steps don't need to be 7 to 10 years out. Those steps to reach your goal, they need to be yearly, really, because things can happen month to month, year to year. Things can happen very quickly, and we know that. So we don't want to just set up a whole 7-year plan. What we want to do is have the ultimate goal, and then what are going to be our steps to get to those particular to get to that particular goal. Make sure that your goals are realistic. So, you know, if you don't have any, well, I would say if you don't have any talent, but we have a lot of people who don't have any talent, but they're famous right now. So here, and that's my opinion. That's Donna's opinion. So, but here's the thing. You know, if you don't have an inroad to the lottery, or nobody's going to leave you any money or anything like that to your knowledge, and you have a very low credit score and you're not making a substantial amount of money, you know not to, an unrealistic goal would be to say, I'm going to have a $600,000 home. I'm going to purchase a $600,000 home in the next 6 months. And you're not expecting any type of monies to come in. Your credit score is not that good right now. It's just unrealistic. So make sure your goals are going to be realistic. And the other thing is, what I want you to do is build in for life, what I call life happenstances or circumstances. So that means if I think I can obtain, and I've used this example before, if I am a senior in high school and I feel like, okay, guess what? I'm going to set up to obtain a bachelor's degree. So I'm going to graduate in 2019. So instead of me saying that I'm going to achieve that bachelor's degree by 2023, I would put in by 2024 or 2025. And the reason for that is because once I get into college, I may determine that I want to change my major. Something may happen at home. Let's say I leave home to go to college. Something may happen to one of my parents. I may have to come back home and help my parents out. I may have to drop out a semester because I get stressed. So what you want to do is build in for life's circumstances and happenstances. If it's a goal that you think you can accomplish in 3 months, do not add 2 years to it. Add about 2 months. Don't add 2 years because it's going to make you procrastinate. So here are some other things, some other areas that I recommend, or not areas, but some other things you do when you're getting ready to set your goal. Remember, when you're looking at your New Year's resolutions, everybody says, I'm going to start January 1st. Here's the first thing you need to do, set a date. That's the first thing you do to set a goal. You set a date. When am I going to start doing this? So set a date for whatever your plan is. So let's use the example of smoking, all right? So let's say I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes. That's my New Year's resolution. So the first thing I'm going to do is set a date. So I'll say I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes I'll say January 4th. Okay, I'm not going to say January 1st because it's New Year's Day and I might be hungover and smoking cigarettes may make me feel better. I don't know. So January 4th is my date. The other thing that you need to do is you need to tell someone what your date is. And I've said this before. So I need to go to, let's say, Greg. I need to go to Greg and say, hey, I'm going to stop smoking on January 4th. And the reason for that is because a lot of times in our mind, we'll say, I'm going to stop smoking on January 4th. But you know what happens on January 4th? Somebody irritates us at work, and that may be one of my triggers for smoking. And I forget that I'm supposed to stop smoking because I automatically go to whatever my habit has been. And then I light the cigarette up. I'm standing outside smoking. I'm like, oh, man, I was supposed to stop smoking. Here's the thing. I haven't told anybody at my job I was going to stop smoking. I haven't told anybody at my home or wherever. And so I don't have anybody to hold me accountable. So I can just change the date and say, you know what? I was going to stop January 4th. Let me try January 15th and move on. So that's the first. You need to tell someone. If it is a habit that you have at work and at home, I would recommend that you tell someone that you work with. You don't have to tell the whole office, but if you have an office where you talk to somebody, say, hey, I want to stop smoking on January 4th, so I need for you to help me. The reason for that is this as well. If that person knows that you generally smoke when you get annoyed and stressed out, then when they see you getting stressed, they may just say, hey, let's go outside and go for a walk or whatever the situation may be. Or they may just come in your office to take your mind off of something to distract you from wanting to smoke. So you set a date. You also tell someone what your date is and what you're trying to stop doing. Then you identify when you have this habit. What are your triggers? You always identify your triggers. When is it that I smoke cigarettes? I smoke when I get up in the morning and I have a cup of coffee. I smoke when I get stressed out or somebody annoys me. You identify, and when you identify your triggers, that helps you identify your barriers and your challenges as well. Okay. Or I smoke after I eat. So then I know what my barriers and so I know what my triggers are. So then what will be my challenges or my barriers? When somebody upsets me, then it's going to be problematic, right? Other things, what are my triggers? What are my triggers? I see cigarettes. I see ashtrays around the house. So I remove all of the ashtrays. When I feel like I want to smoke, then I identify alternatives. When I feel like I want to smoke, then what do? I get up and I go walk around. Let me identify an alternative. What can I do? I can exercise. I know I like to smoke when I get up in the morning. Instead of doing that, let me go to the gym or let me get on my treadmill and walk. So you identify alternatives that will help you deal with the stressor whenever you smoke. You also find a support system. That's not that, even though I'm saying this last, is not the last piece. Make sure you have a positive support system around you that is going to encourage you with whatever goal you have set for yourself. In this case, we're using the example of smoking. Make sure you have people who are positive around you. So not just nagging you saying, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that. But they're actually encouraging you and saying, hey, you're going to stop smoking. I'm going to help you with that. So let's use this alternative. You know what? I didn't want to exercise as much. But if exercising helps you to stop smoking, guess what? I'm going to start exercising with you. We can both do it because I want you to get healthy. So those are the issues. Set a date. Identify your triggers, barriers, and challenges. Identify alternatives to those barriers, triggers, and challenges. Find a support system and also tell someone what you're planning to do and when you're planning on doing it. Thank you for listening to me and the Enclave. Again, today we have been talking about setting up a roadmap or a goal for your New Year's resolutions. And as always, I hope you have a fantastic day, a happy and healthy week, and have a phenomenal, phenomenal 2019. Thank you.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you.
Thank you for listening to another Old Fashioned Health Network show on The Real 1100.